Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till Noon show here on Highland Radio after the news headlines. And it's all go, go, go. It's been a busy Monday morning. Hopefully it sounds busy and organised rather than me stressing out an absolute chaos, which is happening when the microphones are down. Isn't that right, Caroline? I'm chaotic, am I? It's my fault. It's Monday morning. Speaking of Monday morning, a timely reminder that it's Monday morning is Brendan Devaney, who's just gone to... I don't know, is he washing the dishes there? He's closing the curtains. I don't know, I'm watching him on Zoom here. I'm trying to do an interview and he's... Yep, the blinds are coming down. Okay, I'll wait on you, Brendan. Brendan Devaney, I have you muted as well. That's my fault. Okay, Brendan Devaney joins us now. The DL debate is on this evening. Can you hear me, Brendan? Sorry, I had myself muted. I was talking about you closing your blinds and all that kind of stuff and I'm the idiot here.
Sorry, Greg. Yeah, you are, yes. That's great.
Lovely. Come here. What's coming up in the programme? You've got the GEA reporter with the Donegal News, Ryan Ferry. Armagh legend Aaron Kernan also on the show. So we'll focus on Saturday night. I know we're in a period of transition and all that type of stuff, but it's tough. It's tough to watch at times. There was a spell, I think, in the second half where it was right, okay, we can kick on from here, but then you get the impression that our opponents now feel that if they can weather a short storm, we kind of just give in with a quarter to go. I'm not saying the players are giving in, by the way. I'm not in a position to be harshly critical, but it's maintaining a momentum that goes, and then it's like we're gone.
Yeah. Listen, Armagh are a good defensive side. They shut out the best forward line in Ireland last week in their home patch. So it was always going to be a very difficult assignment up there. You know, a raucous athletic ground. You know, they've really galvanised the county. Massive support. And for our forwards, I suppose, look, great looking at our league table, you know, myself and yourself have spoke a few times about defensively. You know, our defence is coping okay. Outside of that, I suppose, particularly the Monaghan game, poor Tyrone game, we've had poor halves in that. And as you said, in transition, you're never going to play a brilliant game all over because players are just bedding in, getting to know each other, new management, new players. And you come up against an Armagh team that's very much on the up. And as I say, defensively, they're very hard to break down. And so many of our, like, we have forward talent, but they couldn't break the defence. And then, as we've seen so many times, Greg, on comes Hugh McFadden. How do you get round blanket defence? You either have to give go, break the lines, which physically we don't really have in our armoury at the minute, or you have to give the ball in direct. And when we started to do that, then we kept fighting. And you'd say, I suppose glimmer of hope from it, Greg, is we didn't give up. We kept trying, and you might have an option inside. We've got to have a platform inside to get around tough defences because we haven't got our players in the They're skillfully very good, but they're not able to break a game line like Armagh's. But that's it, Greg. As I say, that Armagh defence is really solid. It's probably one of the toughest.
Again, armchair stuff here. Are we shooting more than we did under Bonar? I mean, obviously, if you can't penetrate that defence, you're going to take some shots. Are we taking more shots now than we did under Bonar, do you think? Obviously, there's going to be more wides, but I mean, rather than sort of holding on to the ball and trying to work an opportunity inside.
Listen, I think you got to have a go. Greg, probably our shooting was a bit off, and it was as well last week, which is a bit of a worry because certainly we have some serious talent inside that maybe that shouldn't be happening. But I suppose you're shooting under pressure and you're shooting from awkward areas and that. And I think, again, on top of everything else, Greg, when you're on about wides and shot selection and all that, that comes from an experienced group who know how they won. And you always get the sense on Saturday evening that no matter what, Armagh, we're going to know how they won that match. And, you know, even though we got close to them, which was admirable, they had a couple of chances. They had a goal chance that they should have fisted over the bar and went four up. They missed it. And we stayed in the game then because of that. But you could just see a team that's further down the road from that. So, like, listen, it's difficult times.
I enjoy the league, though. The crowds seem fantastic. You're seeing teams on a par against each other battling out. You know, doesn't feel like there's dead rubbers there, or it doesn't feel like you have to go through a whole series of games just to get the inevitable, provincial winner of the championship. I mean, it's with a bit of refinement, and maybe more emphasis in its standing. Like, it's a great competition.
Greg, there's a massive interest in Jane. We've talked a few times about tactics, about games being poor, and it doesn't seem to affect the general GA population, how maybe bad at times games are. I think they've got used to it, they've parked it, they love their teams, and no matter what, Greg, even with blanket defence, games, they'd be interesting at the end. I often say to people, you can nearly come in after half-time because all the action's going to happen in the second half because it can be real shadow boxing. But that seems to be enough for people. They don't mind the way the game has gone. They've accepted it now, and there still is excitement in there. And so many teams just want to do well, as you see with the Bulls there at Armagh. I mean, it was just pretty awful stuff there at times in that first half. But people seem to be happy with it, and certainly they know that the end game is to win the match. And as I say, things tend to open up in the second half a bit more. And the league's a fantastic competition, and I think the new group stages in the championships trying to capture a bit of that, Greg. Now, whether they do or not will be interesting, because the league is the league, and people go in there and there's players injured and you try players and there's different things happening. It tends to be a wee bit more open, whereas we're used to championship and championship. So when this group stage starts, it remains to be seen at what level it's at, because it won't be do or die championship, the games. So whether that really takes off or not, I'm still not that sure. But the league is just a special competition on its own, and many people prefer it to the championship.
But you see, that's kind of what I was saying, but I didn't want to nail my didn't want to nail my colours to the cross that strongly. Derry and Tyrone, two performances at the weekend as well.
Yeah, all our neighbours doing well. Great to see, isn't it? There's something about this Tyrone team, Greg. Nobody can figure out, but I'll tell you what you can figure out. See, when they're really up against it, and when they play Kerry, I don't know, they just something can happens. Pull out. It's in them, you see, and I suppose that's what's frustrating so many Tyrone fans, that this team is one of the best in Ireland, yet they can play like a team outside of the top 10. But they definitely didn't do that at the weekend, and they were under pressure. And it's funny, the soundbite come out. I mean, Fergal Logan, who's a friend of mine, saying, listen, everybody else was panicking, we weren't. But I would say there was a small bit of panic in there. And again, the Derry game, strange match for me. You know, in a game, looking at the whole game, Greg, people just look at the end of it in the second half. That's what I'm saying. They don't look at the way Derry looked so ordinary first half and looked terrible. And Dublin were doing the way Dublin would have did to a blanket defence team years ago and just kind of picked them off. But you see the growth in Derry and some of the new talent coming through, and I suppose their ability to say, you know, we're going to stay in this game. They needed a goal. They got the goal. Once they got that goal, I thought that's the launch pad. But, I mean, even after that, the Dubs came back in. They put a couple of points, went ahead again. But there's just something about this Derry side. They will be hard to beat. But whether that tactic, Greg, as we know, works at the same level at Croke Park, this is the period with that type of setup, what happens at Croke Park. Now, whether Rory Gallagher's planning for that anyway, I'm sure he is, because he looks like a man that has many, many plans going on.
It wouldn't be an easy job staying in Division 2 for any teams that might be in Division 2 next year. That would be a big challenge.
Well, the danger there, Greg, as we say, the bottom two won't be in the All-Ireland. That's a cert as it stands, because Westmeath won the Talchum Cup, which means they're in the All-Ireland proper from Division 3. And then the way the Connacht Championship was set up, I think it's Sligo or Leitrim are going to be in the final, which means they're automatically. So two places has gone from Division 1 and 2. So the bottom two sides now are going to be out of the All-Ireland. And that's going to be tough. And I think it's Limerick anyway's bottom. And I think maybe you could have somebody like Meath or Kildare out of the All-Ireland series, Greg. So for us at Donegal, it's going to be tough to survive now. I mean, everybody would say we're going down now. If there's some Houdini effect at home there to Mayo, maybe get the ball rolling on the way to Roscommon. It's still possible, Greg, so we live in hope.
Yeah, maybe you could tog out again for us. Come here. are you in the business of chatting about refs? A few people want to know your views on the ref at the weekend and the Donegal game. A few soft frees and a couple of decisions here or there. Enough to change the course of the game. At the end of the day, whatever the ref does, you know, there's 15 players out there that can do what they want to do as well.
Yeah,
it's like in boxing, funny, you know, knock them out, and then you don't have to worry about the judges.
It was brought up in the Sunday game last night, Greg, and I was saying to myself, this is our main GA coverage, you know, show of the week. And are we really talking like this? I mean, I mean, the good saying, yeah, you could have a Freedon and Cork and it's different in Tyrone or something. It's like, what's the point in this? And then Wheelo, like, on about defining the tackle. I mean, Greg, this stuff is ridiculous. Listen, we know what the tackle is. We know what a tackle is. There's borderline around physically how you approach a player and how you tackle the ball. And that's just up then to the judgment of the ref. Now, if a ref does give a free in one part of the country and doesn't another, that's down to the ref because he makes a split decision at the time. People just have to get on with this and stop
saying... It's kind of a boring old debate, isn't it, of 20 years ago.
Listen, Greg, yeah. It's human nature for people to not only kind of view things different, but also you remember the ref was making a point blank decision. So if he looked back at that night and video, he might say, "Well, I should have given that or I shouldn't have." But at the end of it, we trust refs to do it. And if a ref calls a free, he calls a free. And that's the way it is. Now, if a ref, sometimes we've seen the other week, particularly down in Cork, Dublin, was a couple of farcical sending offs. Now, he was a new ref, Greg, in the county football. He needs to look at that and improve. And I suppose that's another thing about the league. You know, some refs are learning as well. But this fact of saying, oh, defining the tackle and this is a free in one part of the country and on another. No, it isn't. That's just the nature of the game. Get on with it. Yeah. That'd be my thing.
Right, A to you, ladies, boss. Barney Corrin's in with you as well. Nice to be able to come onto the DL debate with a bit of success behind you. So it should be a nice chat. They beat St. Mary's last Wednesday in Connacht.
I never give off the refs, by the way, Greg. People probably say, unless they help me.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, right? No, but I just, I think I talked to you enough now. I knew you probably weren't going to jump on the bandwagon of bashing refs. It's excuses stuff.
I'm not being a hypocrite because I used to give off stink to them, but now my
everyone's allowed to mature. Look at the age here. You're allowed to change.
Thanks. You can see the grayness in my chin here. I'm maturing. But my thing was that say you were getting pulled and dragged inside, I was always maybe overacting it then that it was getting mauled all together so we would keep an eye on it. So in the back of my mind, it was something to kind of help me and the team.
But I know what you're saying.
It came off. I look back and I'd seen an odd clip and I'm like, geez, I'm shouting and roaring around.
I think there's a bit of consistency required. If there's three or four fellas around someone, right, and it's like, oh, that's clearly a foul, if it then goes the other way for over-carrying, the public, yes. That's when it gets really, because that's like, hold on a second, it's not just, that's an interpretation, it's frustrating, it changes the flow of play, it's a turnover, I think that's when really
thing,
winds
Greg,
people up.
It can't be perfect.
No, I mean, of course not, but that's the human emotion.
When you have a ref just judging at the second, again, there's players around him, and I know people don't like that, but there's no way of stopping that. So my thing would be, listen, that forward needs not to get into that space, or the person on the ball, sorry, doesn't have to be forward. He doesn't have to be in that space. He needs to stay away from the trouble, you know. One second, Greg.
Right, okay. That's Brendan Devaney there. The podcast, it's live tonight, by the way, just after 7 o'clock, just after the 7 p.m. news. It's broadcast live. And of course, then you can listen to the podcast on our website, highlandradio.com, and the DL debates in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Come here. Have a lovely Monday. We'll chat to you later. We look forward to the show already. And tune in live or listen on the pod. All right. Take care of yourself, Bren. That's Brendan Devaney there. 086 60 25,000. WhatsApps and texts to that number. 086 60 25,000. Or give us a call on 074. He's literally just straight into his breakfast. I think I preferred it when we didn't do video calls, maybe. All right. 086 60 25,000. Or call 074 91 25,000. A caller says, Donegal are worse under Carr than Bona, pure and utter garbage on Saturday night. Are we not in a process of building a changing of the guard? I don't know. All right. Referee wasn't great. Player on the ball is now being mauled by 2, 3 and 4 players. Gets punished for over-carrying then. Donegal still not moving the board forward quick enough and allowed the opposition to get their defence up. Okay, that's another person's point of view. Busy again on the lines this morning, Monday morning. Greg, Paul played the songs on Saturday and I picked Elephants. Reminds me of Leonard Cohen. I can hear every word. That comes in from Mary. Mary, listen, thanks for your text. But wait to hear them all. They're all brilliant in their own way. And I'm not just saying that to be honest with you. Fantastic, James and Catherine. Good luck, says another. Brilliant performance by Charles James and the Rise. Such a beautiful song. And I think actually once he told me of the meaning behind it and I re-listened to it, that it kind of hit home a bit more than two as well, to be honest with you. Oh my God, I'm an old lady and that singer James is fantastic. Can you play him again? Don't usually even notice. An older lady, you know, well, it's up to you how you describe yourselves. But yeah, he's got a great voice and a great sound. Good morning, Greg. Best wishes to James and his band. James isn't just a great singer. He's also a really nice guy. That comes in from Michael Kavanagh. Indeed, Michael, he really does come across as such. And beautiful sound, very easy listening, says another. And all four songs are in our playlists now, by the way, so you'll be hearing them over the course of the month as well. And as I say, every single one of them, well worth the airplay. Right, okay. Let us take a break. Yes, it's time for a break. All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. It's Monday Matters time, and we are heading towards International Women's Day. It's on Wednesday, March the 8th, and we've got Danielle Bonner, coordinator of the Donegal Women's Collective, in studio with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Great to have you. You're very calm now. All of a sudden, the microphone's open, aren't you?
Well, you have to be. It's Monday morning. Okay.
And also delighted to welcome into studio Anya McLaughlin, who's Development Officer with the Inishowen Development Partnership. And it's about a celebration of women. Well, I'll ask straight off, Danielle, what is, to you, what's International Women's Day?
We're having this conversation just outside. Yeah. It's a celebration of women every year. Well, obviously, we, as an organisation, we celebrate women all the time. But just taking the day to celebrate women, but also highlight maybe some of the challenges that women are experiencing. So we're delighted this year to be partnering with IDP to like celebrate women in the show. And we were saying how excited some of the women are that we will be celebrating. So
yeah, so talk to me about how we're going to do that, Anya.
Okay, so I suppose we'll be able to call out across Inishowen for nominations for inspirational women in the community. These could be women that have helped somebody or have taken on a campaign in the community or done something that really should be recognised. So we did that call out and we were astonished by the number of women that were nominated. And we have over 13 women that we're going to be delighted to be able to present awards to at our event tomorrow night in Ballyliffin. And just a note that we worked with a social enterprise, Spriga Sport, who's well known, who has actually sponsored our awards for tomorrow night. So as part of that, we also did sold tickets for the event, and within a matter of days, all 150 tickets were sold. So this really tells us, I suppose, the need for this type of event and the popularity of it. So we're delighted to be able to bring it to Inishowen this year.
Yeah. Danielle, for sure. Danielle, in terms of things are improving, aren't they, or are they? Because it's not really for me to say. In terms of us recognising how the system was set up, by the way. We're talking more about how women are represented, the lack of representation. We are maybe starting to take more seriously medical issues that primarily affect women. But it's still like it's still like we're talking about it. But then sometimes you think, well, is anything really changing? Is it just
things? Things have changed and improved. Like we're saying this, like sometimes we dwell on the negative, but there are positives. Things have significantly changed for women. But we know there are fundamental issues, like you raise the medical issue. Like sometimes medical things that women experience aren't taken seriously. There's a whole.
Is this a crisis, research. Right? In health. It seems to invariably it affects women.
Well, exactly.
If you think of all the crises and the problems that we've had.
Well, COVID was a prime example of this. We were just talking about this. We did research for the 2 years of COVID, and some of the things that highlighted for women is like we were just saying this, like even in relationships. Okay, there was very often conversations was not had. It was an assumption that the woman was going to be the homeschooler or the home carer, and both parents were in the house, and that caused some hostility between couples. And that was highlighted with COVID because it was never discussed before. You know, I think the UN and some of the EU institutions have spoken about how COVID potentially has pushed back gender equality for women by 25 years. That's a lot. You know, you said what are some of the challenges like here, well, nationally, globally, and locally, women's representation is a major issue.
And in some parts of the world, we've gone backwards.
Well, Afghanistan is a prime example. I have friends that I know that work there and locals, and like it's devastating what's happened there. And we're seeing other parts. Like I always say, we can never take gender equality or equality period actually across the board, because we've seen it with minority groups as well. So that's why like we still exist, like because you can never take anything for granted.
For sure. And I think over the last couple of years, for whatever reason, I don't know if I don't feel progress is being made. I think we're at least stagnant, or there is actually quite a vocal pushback against the Me Too movement, for example, and others. Like an actual pushback. In other words, hold on, you take a step back here. Don't lose a run of yourself.
Now,
are you getting that?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. It's a pendulum, that things swing. And equality, people seem to think equality means if they're going to get something, something's going to be taken away from somebody else.
Threatened
that
by
is,
equality.
Yeah, that is not how equality works. But then that goes back to the question of why there is an inequality. It's very much related to power. Some people not even realise they have power, but they do. And actually, the fact that they don't have to recognise that they have power is part of the fact that you have
well,
power.
Well, see, I think too. Sometimes people's views can be misaligned. In other words, like, so if you have an issue with big corporation, big pharma, you know, profiting from war, profiting from the energy crisis, and all that type of stuff, really, you should be aligned to changing how these systems work. Because it's generally old men in grey suits that are behind the scenes. But you might find then that people's views are strangely aligned on certain issues. Does that make sense?
Change is not an easy thing. And my background before I was doing stuff in gender equality was conflict resolution. And conflict can be a natural state of being, but it's how you address that, you know. And even addressing gender equality is almost like a conflict for somebody, because you're questioning their belief system, you're questioning stuff that they've been raised with all their life. You may be questioning having to question your family, you know, and families are dynamic within themselves, you know.
And then there are various voices within any particular movement as well, which kind of can rub those within it.
Well, you can sometimes have allies, which I have discovered, that can sometimes be detrimental to you. And they mean well, but it's a difficult one. I work with young people, and some of them really get it, and they are very progressive.
I think in terms of changing a lot of people now, I don't know if that's actually achievable. I believe any change will actually probably come with future generations.
Yes and no. I don't totally buy that, because I hear this, but, oh, well, they were raised, like, in terms of racism, well, that's how it was that,
well, you can
that
only
in
look
the
at
day.
Where we are, you see,
you
that's
know,
the
but
thing, you
I,
know.
I'm a positive person, Greg.
I've spoken to people of colour, and I've spoken to people from within the gay community, and they said in the last couple of years they have been subjected to abuse they never experienced.
And I can believe that, you know, like we had a meeting with them.
And that's not just here too,
no.
In Europe as well.
Well, and this is actually, discrimination is like a family. Racism, homophobia, and gender sexism actually can very often be related. You know, I did a patriarchy course with the girls in Loretta Convent, and we were talking about women's experiences. And this just gives you an example here. There was one black student in the class, and I'd showed them a video of one of my friends doing an experiment in the UK about black women often, if they have afros, have this thing about people touching their hair without.
Yeah, I heard that.
And so I showed them this video, and the one girl put her hand up. She's like, "That's me." All her friends just turned their heads and they were like, their mouths open. They're like, "We're so sorry." Mm. So you have thing there to do with her race, and she's a woman, because black men don't get this.
Bald.
So there is very much interlinked.
Bald men do.
Well, Greg.
I actually don't mean it funny, and it's no way to take away from that person's experience, but it happens all the time.
Well,
rubbing your head.
I don't recall ever touching a bald man's head. A bald man's head. But
I'm not in any way trying to trivialise that person's experience.
No, but that position I wanted to make clear is very much about someone thinks they're entitled to do that, and where did you get that entitlement from? And some, it's because maybe that person you think is black and they're not maybe going to challenge you on that. That you have the, because I had it, I'm mixed race. When I was young, I had a little afro, and my teacher did it all the time. And I thought, there's something wrong with me. And it wasn't until many years later that we had this conversation with my friend, because she has a massive afro. And I was like, I wasn't paranoid. Like, and then all these other, you know, so it's having these conversations for people, you know, to talk about some of the issues.
Were you bothered by it at the time?
Yes.
Okay, you were.
Yes,
okay.
Oh God,
so
yes.
So in other words, it wasn't sort of
I didn't have power to challenge that, because this person was authority for me.
Yeah, you know? and the only other thing though was, I said, I just think people who are of a certain view, they feel more vocal now. And you feel like you can demonstrate it in public, and that you know you've got backers.
Social media's allow that to happen. So, but we are delighted for tomorrow evening.
Yeah. So come here, Anya. We're only going to have to try and flog tickets. I'm useless. Unless I'm plugging and flogging something.
We don't need you. We've got our own superpowers.
You know what I mean? What am I here for? So it's a sellout. Yeah. But you mentioned something it wasn't in passing, it was quite important on you, just how this is something that's been hit on here. Maybe you didn't realise, should we do this? And then everyone's nominating people, want to be there, want to be part of it. It's sort of like it's blown up on you.
Absolutely. I mean, we didn't know how this would be received. We didn't know many nominations we would get, and we really were blown away. So we're delighted to be able to highlight the achievements of these women at tomorrow night's event. So it's fantastic.
And can you give us an idea of the title, or is it going to be revealed on the night? I don't want to know spoilers.
Well, we have a number of women, I mean, from all walks of life, from people who have overcome personal struggles within their own life, who have led campaigns to improve the health service here in Donegal, to professional women who have started their own business in the midst of COVID. So we have an array, but certainly we will keep it under wraps for tomorrow night.
We know who they are.
Okay, but I have a feeling this is going to be very important to the people who've because we've been going through something similar here in calling on people to celebrate, the contribution of other people. And it's an easy thing to do, but it means so much to recognise the work that people do.
We were just saying this, that sometimes life isn't easy. And sometimes we're busy AF. All the time. And it's like from our point of view, is that we need to create spaces where we can just
pause
and just go, actually, this is what we've done. And I'm going to say this, you are amazing. You know, I know sometimes I think women don't hear that enough, and they put themselves down, or they don't, because I know some of these women that I know, and one of them I know personally, and she is absolutely amazing. And I know for a fact that she inspired me, and she's inspired so many other women, and has done stuff for their mental health and just given them confidence. And I think that's why International Women's Day is so important, that we recognise those, and it's delighted that we can have something big in Donegal, in Inchon, to celebrate women.
Sing Tonicity is a band, is it?
No, it's a lady.
Choir?
No.
A person?
One person, Siobhan Heaney. She was at our event last year. We did an event in June of last year called Empower Her in Inchon, and she was our icebreaker. So she got everybody up on their feet, basically using their vocal expression to, I suppose, improve their inner feelings and get the room, I suppose, up and get that energy charged.
Equaliser, isn't it? It's an equaliser. Live music, and your MC on the evening is Diane Greer.
Yeah.
And as well as entertainment as well, panel talks.
Yeah, we have three women from our community. We have Rosina Toner, who you'll know, and also Garda Anna.
Powerful, that's a powerful person.
Yes.
Just come to the fore through her own situation.
Yeah.
Achieved, I would argue, achieved so much in a short space of time in terms of getting to the ears that need to hear what she had to say and stuff. Really quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Sorry, who else?
And we have another lady as well who has come here from Ukraine, Olga. And we also have Olga. My Ukrainian wouldn't be amazing, so I can't pronounce her surname, unfortunately. And we also have Gard Anna McGrannan as well. We'll be chatting about her work in the community.
That's actually going to be a really interesting conversation, then. Right, okay, so what else is happening on International Women's Day? Are you involved in this?
We're involved in this.
Danielle?
I was saying, I'm not here on International Women's Day. I'm actually out of the country. But
it is International Women's Day.
I know,
so you can be a woman somewhere else.
And actually, yes, I'm going somewhere that actually is very relevant to this. But I know a couple of, there are events going across. Yeah. There's events going on in Stranola, I think, with the cultural platform. Also, Niamh Kennedy, Councillor Niamh Kennedy, she's doing a flip of the county council, having the women, obviously, that out of the 37, only four are women. So there's going to be four men and the rest are going to be women. So I know she's been pulling women from the community to have a debate, but have a session and such. So that will be, I'd love to have been there for that. But it would be lovely to see the pictures and what's said at
that. And it's about celebrating women, aren't you?
Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely. That is the core of our event. I think
everyone would prefer if we didn't have to have particular days. It's like we were talking earlier on about the next 2 weeks is fair trade, promoting fair trade, right? I mean, people go, well, why do you have those 2 weeks? Well, no one wants them. If it's a norm that it's fair trade, you don't require 2 weeks for it, right? If it's a situation in life where, you know, women are treated equally, of equal opportunity, equal representation in positions of power, if that's what they want. You don't have International Women's Days then, do you?
But there is an International Men's Day. You do know that, Greg?
Of course I do.
When is it?
I don't know. Whenever Caroline tells me, it's
November,
tomorrow.
November 19th.
But
I know that.
What do we use it for? Is it not normally to promote men's health and stuff?
Well, it is, but, and there's some, you know, of the challenges. We were just saying this out here, that like we work for gender equality and obviously work with women, but the very thing that we work for benefits men as well.
We often have the stuff available to us. It's just telling us to go and use it, right?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Like, that's the question. Why is it?
If I'm counter-arguing this. Why are you doing this to me? You're twisting the tables.
Well, that's what we have to do to get things changed. You know, like, everything benefits everything. If we train the system, everyone is going to benefit.
Yeah,
benefit by that.
Anya, anything else you want to mention?
Later on in the week, we have a couple other initiatives for women. We have two courses for Introduction to Menopause. We have one in Greencastle on the 9th of March and also in Clamanagh on the 15th of March. So we'd welcome all women. We have still places available for that.
And there's a massive appetite for information in that regard, because finally now people feel they can say the word. It's not a swear word.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so that's another. I think that's an advance over the last wee while. Anything else at all?
No, I mean, we always have initiatives, IDP across all the community, across all genders and all abilities and intergenerational as well. So keep an eye out on our website for upcoming courses and events.
It's not about them and us. We're all the same.
Mm. Exactly.
You know, we are all the same fundamentally, aren't we?
Yeah.
Basically. Okay. Do you need to add anything, Danielle?
The same as Anya, we've got loads of stuff coming up. We've got, we'll have two courses actually, wellness, nature and wellness for women, in one in Bonkrana.
I think wellness thing's really important. There's a lot of heroes out there, men and women, that are under huge pressure, and they just, as us kind of, again, it was mentioned on the show earlier on, they batter on thinking that's the norm, but self-care is so important. How can you care for other people if you don't find space for yourself?
Exactly, and it's okay to take. It's not, because we hear the word self, but you think you're being selfish if you stop. It's not being selfish. It's actually the very opposite for yourself. You know, like we're community workers, and I know there's many community workers that, you know, we just need time out, and everyone needs time out, even yourself, Greg.
I know. I think anyone listening to this show and stuff I say, really, what, it's just me talking about myself.
So this is your wellness session.
This is it.
Does Highland Radio realise this?
I think it's just me venting. Right, but anyway, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Danielle. Danielle Bonner, coordinator of the Donegal Women's Collective. And also, Anya, your first time on the radio?
Yeah, with you,
Okay.
Oh, I should say, check out our Facebook page, WCI Donegal, because that's where we post all our upcoming courses, and we've actually been delighted to be funded by ETV by a lot of courses this year. So they'll be rolling off the Facebook pages, and we have a WhatsApp group. If they go on there, they can get the details.
Brilliant.
For that.
And what I was going to say is, on you're a natural, so obviously it must have been whoever you won with before.
Indeed, yes.
Certainly nothing to do with me then. All right, listen, thanks so
much.
And it's Wednesday, March 8th, day after tomorrow.
Yes.
Danielle, always a pleasure, as I say. Arnie, great to have you on this programme for the first time, and hopefully we'll see you again. Danielle Bonner's coordinator of the Donegal Women's Collective. Arnie McLaughlin, development officer with the Inishowen Development Partnership. And check out their socials for a lot of the stuff we were talking about and signposts of what's coming up and what have you. And enjoy the celebrations on what night's that event?
Tomorrow night.
Okay.
Yeah. We're getting in there early. We're getting in there before the rest. So tomorrow night, the Byleffin Hotel. Doors open from 7 to 9, but registration from 4 to 7, so come along.
Okay, and it runs from 7 to 9?
Yes.
Excellent, okay. Thanks so much indeed. We'll be back with more after the break. Betty Holmes is chairperson of Donegal Action for Cancer Care and is with me on the programme now. Betty, thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Right, okay. Just to see you quoted there in the newspapers about a significant drop in cervical cancer screenings when comparing 2022 to 2021. Do we need to sort of maybe compare going back another couple of years to find out, was there a delay through COVID that we saw in 2021 and then that wasn't reflected in 2022? Or what's your reading of the figures, Betty?
Well, Greg, we were absolutely horrified and shocked to discover the figures, because the figures for 2021 was 9,444 women had received their cervical screening in Donegal, and in 2022 it was 7,331. That's a drop of 2,113 women who did not actually have their cervical screening in last year in Donegal. And that is very, very distressing, very worrying. And Greg, yes, I know that we talked about COVID and all, you know, and we've went through COVID and the difficulties that people had and businesses had and health had and everything had. But if we have over 9,000 women availing of their cervical screening in 2021, to have a drop of 2,113 and last year, Greg, there's questions that have to be answered.
Mm. Well, a couple of them.
Questions have to be asked.
A couple of questions would be, how many invites were sent out? Was the level of invites sent out lower year on year? Was it people that didn't show up? Did they not receive an invitation? I think really for context, that would be really important information too. Would it, Betty?
Yeah, well, we actually wrote to Cervical Check on Thursday afternoon, actually just like outlining our concerns and whatever, and asking could we get some information back on it. But we will actually be following this up today, Greg, at a higher level, because the HSE said that their invites for screening are up to date since 2021. Mm. So if their invites are up to date from 2021, how can a figure of 2,113, and cervical screening is generally done in your GP practice. So, you know, I can't see that access to your GP having an impact like that. There's major, major issues here. And we go back, women, I'm doing this from memory again, at 25 to 29 have their cervical screening every 3 years. Women from 30 to 65 have their screening every 5 years. But Greg, a figure of 2,113 women, according to Cervical Check, not turning up for their cervical screening is really distressing. And for us in DECC, as I said, we will be following it up because the answers have to be got.
Before you get onto that too, we know that a percentage of those screenings that didn't happen would have flagged something that needed further examination. Yep. Do you know what I mean? It's not like these are people and something would have been spotted in some of them. So there are people listening to this program who may not have turned up or for whatever reason. And we know how timely it is to catch these things early. Do you know what I mean? So it is really, really significant that this is going to affect people who aren't going to potentially get the best outcome for themselves. I'm trying to choose my language carefully to not scare anyone, but that's the importance of this.
It is, Greg, and the reality is it's too high of a figure, you know, not to have major, major worries and concerns about. And again, you know, if you're a woman who felt that you should have had an invite and didn't get one, we ask that you contact your, GP practice, find out when you had your last one. We know GP practices are under pressure, but there's nothing wrong with ringing up, making the inquiry, when did I have my last cervical screening? If you didn't have an invite, or if you had an invite and didn't go, please, please, you owe it to yourself primarily and to your family to actually get yourself screened. And with a figure as high as that, for us in DACC, we make no apology to the women of Donegal to follow up, and to their HSE, to the GPs, whoever it takes, follow it up. If somebody tells you, no, you've had yours last year or 2 years ago, or, you know, within the designated time frame, that's good. Make note of who told you that by as well. But there's questions there, Greg. There's no way I would honestly believe that 2,113 women in Donegal last year didn't turn up for an appointment. I can't get my head around that at all. And questions have to be asked, answers have to be got.
But Betty, you've been around these issues for a good while now, doing amazing work, by the way. Just let me say that.
Thank you.
What do you believe is going on here? What's your gut telling you?
My gut. Now, this is just a total personal gut feeling. I believe with all the difficulties that have existed through COVID and carried on, and changes of staff and offices and everything else, I don't believe in my gut. I don't believe that 2,113 invites were sent out, Greg, and that women didn't attend. I believe that there was a large portion of those invites didn't go out and weren't received.
Is it possible that people have a perception that they're not going to get into their GP, that it's not worth the hassle, that you can't get an appointment? Because I receive so many messages into the show where people are frustrated with GP services. Mm-hmm. I'm not in any way blaming GPs, and I know the pressure they're under, and they're dealing with an awful lot of people now. The population in this country has grown by 5,000 or 6,000 in this county alone, mostly women. So let's not forget that either. Yeah. And now I don't know how that's going to play into figures into the future either. And I think that's something really quite significant. There's an awful lot of women in Donegal now that weren't here last year or the year before. How are we making sure that they're screened if they need to be screened and so on and so forth? But it'd be interesting to get your views on that. What's being done to reach these women that are in the county now that weren't here last year?
Well, I do believe, yes, that there are difficulties around access to GPs. There's no two ways about that. And that's why I would call on women who are in that age group to make contact with their GP service. Follow up if you've got it, if whatever. There is difficulty because when you refer to it, Greg, it just reminded me, I've had a lot of contact myself about people having difficulty getting access. And you're right, that's a figure that I hadn't thought on. The increase in the number of women who are actually in Donegal at present, who may not even be, you know, aware that they've got it. Where's their, if they're getting invites, are they going to their proper address? Are they getting them? It's a minefield, Greg, but it's too serious a situation and it's too serious a condition to just be left to be talked about today and let go. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to scare anybody, just like you've said yourself, but this is really serious stuff.
A caller says, my doctor's office rang me recently saying that I hadn't made an appointment for my cervical check and wanted to check why not. I explained I didn't know it was due. I didn't get a letter as a reminder to make an appointment. I always had before, but not this time.
Wow.
Maybe others didn't get their invites either. I made my appointment immediately when the doctor's office rang me. I've since had my check and everything is good. Every woman needs to attend these checkups. It's so important. Now, there's a website that people can go to, and it is hse.ie, or just Google cervical check. You can find out who should have cervical screening. You can check the cervical check register. You can get information about what happens at your appointment. You can check if your cervical screening test is due, or you can find a GP or a clinic for a free cervical screening check. And to get all that information, it's the first result that comes up is you search cervical check on Google and you'll get into that website. But listen, Betty, I know you've a lot of questions that you're going to continue to get answers to, and I would love when you get them for you to rejoin us so we can be proactive and I can be proactive with you, and I can have a constructive input maybe into getting women who haven't had the check to get that check done, to say to make sure, like that lady that was just on to us, all was
and
good. Everything is good.
Thank her for ringing in.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank her for ringing in. And the other thing as well, Greg, we're talking so much, and I mean this respectfully, about National Women's Day and all on Wednesday. Women of Donegal, make it a priority for yourself to follow up on your cervical check screening. I don't believe everybody has had their invite. I don't believe they've had the letter. I know there's been difficulties. And go for your cervical screening. Make it a priority for yourself this day and this week. And remember, the life you save could be your own, and that is a priority. You know, it's scary stuff. And we've looked at, Dr. Scully has made his recommendations. There's 50 recommendations in that, Greg. We as DACC will be following up to see how many of those 50 recommendations have been implemented. Mm. But the priority today is the women of Donegal between age 25 and 65. Follow up and see if you've had your screening, if you're due appointment, please.
Yep. Okay. And you can check your register thank and everything. You. All right. Listen, yes, a caller says you, here, I got my invite for my smear test. I had it 2 weeks ago and I paid €50. Does
not to my knowledge.
No, they did it at
that's
GPs so, by the looks of things.
Free.
So we need to check into that because that person shouldn't have incurred a cost there. Listen, thanks, Betty. Keep up the great work and we'll
you.
Be back to you
thanks
for an update. All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Betty Holmes there. 086 60 25,000 WhatsApps and texts. Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather is with us. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
I must say, I do enjoy your interviews with newspapers because you're always measured in your interviews. And then this headline, this massive headline about, you know, weather forecaster warns of, you know, 75-foot drifts. And then you read in the article and it's you just being your normal self, you know, giving the information as it is, but not being too dramatic. And the headline writers then have to make something of your interesting comments, Alan. It's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it does get a little bit frustrating, to be honest with you, because I get messages, screenshots of the headlines, and I'm like, did you actually read what it says?
Yes.
No, of course not.
Okay, so we have a status yellow ice warning. I think it's coming down from the north. We're probably going to see the worst of what is in store for the next wee while, Alan, and what is in store?
Yeah, so showers will push south. The good news is the sunshine is going to return. However, the problem with that is much colder air is going to flood down from the north. So it's going to turn bitterly cold for the next few days. There will be some wintry showers feeding into the north later tonight, early tomorrow. So there could be a few wintry falls, generally small showers, not too many showers, but still a risk. But a very icy start tomorrow and a very cold day tomorrow with a biting wind chill. And it's going to stay cold then into Wednesday as well. Generally not too many showers around and some sunny spells, but it's getting very tricky for Thursday into Friday. Now, unfortunately, the weather models are struggling, which makes this very frustrating trying to forecast it. And I'm sure very frustrating for your listeners looking at all the apps changing and the forecast changing. But what I would say is, especially for Donegal, is keep up to date with the weather forecasts very carefully this week. There is a risk of some heavy sleet and snow Thursday into Friday. Now, it could be rain, sleet at lower levels and snow at higher levels, or it could be snow at lower levels. And there is a risk of some disruptive snow for a time Thursday into Friday. So unfortunately, I can't give you a clear kind of indication of how much snow, where it's going to hit. All I would say is definitely keep up to date with the forecast because there is a risk of some snow this week.
And there's a risk of no snow either, but there's enough of a risk that you see it worthwhile mentioning it, which is good advice. And this weather, I mean, it's only early March. I suppose with the brighter mornings and brighter evenings, we might be thinking we're actually in the proper spring and into the summer. But I mean, this weather's not necessarily unusual as such.
No, I mean, we have seen cold spells. March of many weathers can bring us that. I suppose we were spiked. Well, most of areas of the country were spiked with a very mild and dry February, which might have lulled us into a false sense of spring has sprung. But certainly back to colder and more wintry style weather for this week. And some, I know you'll know the topography better than me, but I know there's some high roads in Donegal that people have got stuck on before. If you're travelling those, especially this week, take great care and keep a close eye on the forecast because, as I say, very icy conditions, regardless of whether that snow comes, showers and then ice, then freezing will lead to ice. But certainly a risk on especially those higher ground areas of some significant snowfall Thursday into Friday. It does look like temperatures will increase for a little bit, but they could drop again next week. Now, northern areas could hold on to the cold. So it all depends on where this front of rain, sleet and snow goes. But the north of the country is likely to see the worst of the cold spell in terms of the longevity of it. So unfortunately, those heating bills, Greg, are not going to be very kind.
No, and and fair play to Alan for recognising that in your forecast too. It is, it's true, it's real. Okay, Alan, thanks so much. We appreciate your time as always.
Take care. Cheers.
All right. Alan Riley there, who is of Carlo weather. Just a heads up, it's nothing's guaranteed at this point, but there could be some disruptive snowfalls Thursday evening into Friday. A caller says again, everything is about women, Greg. Women can say whatever they want to men and there's no recourse. If a man even looks at a woman, there is outrage. You are the same as the mainstream media. You just want to hear women's views and everything, but you do not look at the balance between each gender. And listen, I appreciate you might feel that, but it's not the case. Half of the people listening to this show are women. A lot of the voices are men's. We try and strike a balance as much as we like. But listen, it's very, very clear that in certain elements of life, it's tougher to be a woman than it is as a fella. And if we're trying to sort of talk about women's issues, it doesn't in any way affect men. We're not trying to do that, or I'm not trying to do that. It's just that it's to give everyone a platform and to best as ensure as possible that we're all have a fair crack of the whip. I appreciate your time texting in nonetheless. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9. Have a lovely day. Thanks to Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the show, and Anya working with us as well. We've more live music for you tomorrow and so much more besides. Tune in from 9.